In Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Before we go back to chapter 23, let me read what God had Mark pinned down. I think that was the verse I wanted anyway. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I'll go back to Matthew chapter number 23. And we'll not read the whole chapter, but I'll pick out several verses here. Verse 1, then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They are religious leaders. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at the feast, the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Now look at verse number 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Verse number 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Look at verse 25. Somewhere along in there. Just pick out a verse. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. One man said in the long ago, God is the head of the missionary movement. The devil heads the opposition. I want to speak to you for a little while on this thought, the devil's missionary program. It could be subtitled Satan's Counterfeit Commission. Satan is a counterfeiter. He's a master counterfeiter. Jesus gave his great commission in the missionary program to the church. We read a couple of those places. Here in Matthew 23, Jesus reveals to us Satan's counterfeit commission. Now, the secret of a good counterfeit is to keep it secret and as much like the real thing as possible. So I want to make three statements concerning the devil's missionary program. You see, the devil hates everything that God is for. He hates everything that God loves, and he's against everything that God is for. And every now and then, it's good for you and me to be reminded of the spiritual warfare that's being raised between God and Satan. One man said in the long ago, I think it might have been Tozer said, the real corridors of power are in the spirit world. And there are two corridors. Satanic and godly. And they are at war. One of the things that is emphasized in the New Testament, when a person becomes a believer, he is automatically then enlisted by God as a soldier of the cross. He says to his children, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we have to go to battle. And we're wrestling, not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness in high places. What is that? That's that spiritual corridor of satanic power. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. On and on and on again. We're reminded of this conflict. What's the purpose of it? The bottom line is, it is a conflict. It is an all-out war for the souls of men. And whatever God has planned to reach the world, Satan has a counterfeit plan to reach the world and fulfill his goal. Now, if it's God's goal for lost men and women to be saved, then it's Satan's goal for men and women to be lost. And when someone trusts Christ, as that harlot did that I just gave testimony of, that's an eternal victory for Christ, for the blood of Christ and for the cross. Every person that dies and goes to hell is a victory for Satan. So there is a counterfeit missionary program headed up by Satan. Now, notice three things about Satan's missionary program. First of all, think about his missionaries. He said in Matthew 23:15, ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. Ye. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. Now Jesus spoke to his followers, to his soldiers, and he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, in Acts, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So the assignment given to his believers, to the soldiers of the cross, is to reach to the uttermost part, the farthest place in the world from where you are, and all points in between. That's why the word part is singular, not plural. So both sides have missionaries. Both armies have missionaries. What are the missionaries in Satan's missionary program? Well, according to Matthew 23, they're religious leaders. scribes and Pharisees. You see, there was a lie that was literally spawned on the American people decades ago, and it said, "Go to the church of your choice." That's about the worst advice. That's about the worst advice you could ever give somebody. Huh? Well, at least he goes to church. Well, might be better off not going at all if he's going to the wrong place. The book in 2 Corinthians, it says this, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work." You remember what God had John write in the book of 1 John, said, "There are many antichrists already." That was written back in the first century A.D. The counterfeit, they counterfeit and duplicate the outward forms of the church. These devil's missionaries have prophets. Listen on the radio, watch on the television. They're always giving a word of prophecy, you know, prophecy this, prophecy that. Most of it comes from the charismatics. They have apostles. One of the reasons the fundamentalists are so much afraid of that leading candidate is the connection that he has with the cult out west that has apostles. Then they have preachers and evangelicals. They have evangelists. You can see them on television, listen to them on the radio. They have missionaries, cultists, Jehovah's Witnesses, that in many ways do a better job and a more thorough job of propagating their beliefs than we Christians do. And they have ordinances. They have sacraments. They have prayers. My wife's been noting that lately down around where we come from, we live just 5 miles north of the U.S.-Kentucky border, on the U.S. side. And there's a big billboard down there. If you ever go down and preach from Matt English College, it's just right down the road from he's moving his church over there, you know. Yeah, they're getting over on the Indiana side. And it's, I think it has a picture of Jesus. It says, "If you need something, tell my mother." Yeah, I'm talking to you about the devil's missionary program. They are religious phonies, because Jesus calls them hypocrites. They like position. We found that in verse 2. It says, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They use and abuse the Bible. They tell you what to do. They don't do it. They're hypocrites. They like to dress up in religious garments. I'll be honest with you. If you're a Catholic, I don't want to offend you, but I could not be a religious leader in a Catholic church. I couldn't wear one of those gowns. I couldn't do it. They like titles: rabbi, master, father. Some historian said this: originally the word hypocrite had to do with male actors playing the part of a female. In other words, they appeared to be something they could never become. That's a powerful statement. So they have missionaries, and then the devil has a mission field. He said in verse 15, "Ye compass sea and land." Well, that's identical to the command, the commission that God's given the church. He said, go you into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. So they have. He has their missionaries. He has a mission field, the whole world. Jesus, in the parable of the seed, said that identified the field for the gospel seed as the world, and told his disciples to go into all the world. The devil says here to be willing to do what Christians are often unwilling to do: compass sea and land, to spread the false seed. How about this mission field? The most fruitful field the devil has is the church. Spurgeon said back in the mid-1800s, he said, when God kicked the devil out of heaven, he landed in the church choir. The liquor crowd is never going to destroy the church. The drug crowd is never going to destroy the church. The porno crowd is never going to destroy. The perverts are never going to destroy the church, although they are the enemy. Now, you know what destroys churches? We do. We're self-destructive. We Baptists believe that we believe in multiplication by division. It's amazing how many, my wife and I get in a lot of places. We'll be in 60, 65 churches a year. And it's amazing we get some places and hear this boy over here has started a church, and in a year's time he's running 100. Pretty good. Well, how many did you lead to Christ and baptize? None. Well, where'd you get them? Well, you know, they come from this church, that church, you know. Yeah. Yeah, we're our own worst enemies sometimes. And one of the big reasons is because there are tares sown among the wheat. The wheat and tare must grow together for want of an infallible judge until harvest time. They look the same. They use the same language. They go through the same motions. Never been saved. One man said the most subtle form of satanic doctrine is religion. There are more frauds and phonies in the professing church than anywhere in the world. A pimp is easily identified, and his followers at least know what business he is in. But a religionist is a deceiver pretending to be what he is not. Hypocrites. Jesus said, you're not going to heaven, and you're shutting up the kingdom of heaven against those that want to enter in. And then he made the crowning statement on religion. He said in verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? So the devil has a mission field, the devil has missionaries, and the devil has a ministry. He said in verse 15 of Matthew 23, ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. A convert to their dogma. A convert to their teaching, which, by the way, is contrary to Scripture. One man said proselyting differs from making disciples in that to proselyte means to secure outward conformity rather than inward piety, a change of external religion rather than a change of heart. Now listen to these closing statements. Let it sink in. If all a man does is get religion, he is worse off than before. How many times, soul winner, have you heard somebody say, well, I was baptized as a baby? Well, my kids were baptized. My kids were, what is that teaching system? Catechism. They went through catechism when they were 12. As if there's some special spiritual saving merit there. No, it gives them something to cling to. But as Don Boyce described, it's a rope of sand. If the religionist can persuade people that they can get to heaven by doing works of any kind, he has been successful in deceiving a soul. His ministry to damn souls. He said, you make him twofold more the child of hell. Bad enough to be lost without one being actively engaged in the devil's missionary program. So everything that God has, Satan has duplicated. Now, I started doing this to try to get people to wake up. Try to help us to realize that the people in the foreign fields, the foreign land, no matter what type of religion they may have, they're hopelessly lost. Amen. All of their good intentions, their motives. I remember years and years ago, back right after World War I, some of us preachers used to go, preacher boys out of Avon, Indiana, we used to go out to the Plainfield Boys School. That was the state reformatory for teenage boys. It's located just on Highway 40, just west of Plainfield, Indiana. And they had about 25 or 30 cabins. They would keep about 25 boys in each one of these cabins. And for religious instruction or religious services, they would allow churches, they would assign them, those that were interested, one of these cabins. And so we'd go out there every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and we'd have an hour service, anywhere from 20 to 25 boys. There's always some had left and more to come. It was just a constant turnover, you know. And once in a while, the chaplain for the boys' school, the reformatory, would hold a meeting. And he would bring all of the representatives from the various churches together, usually on a Saturday morning. And so I would go to this session, and I remember meeting a Catholic nun. I watched this woman for years, by herself, every Sunday morning. If there was a foot of snow on the ground, she'd trudge through that snow. She was there. I would listen to her when we would have this annual meeting. I would listen to her and sense the heartbeat that she had for those boys. That woman was absolutely, totally convinced that she was helping those boys. Her motive was as pure as any of the fellows that ever went with me. But you know what she was? And she didn't even realize it. She was a devil's missionary. She was teaching false doctrine. She was giving any of those boys who were interested in the things of God false hope. And she was leading them down the path to hell. So I'm just saying, there they are, two programs. Two missionary program. One is solid truth to the core, and the other has not an ounce of truth in it. Now, if every believer is a missionary, then my question is this: who are we working for? Which program are we working for?